Big weekend for Tar Heel sports. Women's soccer team is in the Final Four after upsetting number 3 South Carolina 1-0 in the NCAA quarterfinals on Friday. First trip to the Final Four for the Tar Heel women since 2012. UNC men's soccer in the NCAA quarterfinals after beating Syracuse on Sunday, also 1-0. Freshman Jeremy Kelly got the goal in the 32nd minute. By the way, it was Madison Schultz who got the goal for the Tar Heel women. Next up for the Carolina men, they host Providence in Fetzer Field on Friday at 7 p.m. The winner moves on to Houston for the Final Four. Carolina women heading to San Jose for the national semis. That's also going to be on Friday, 5 p.m. against West Virginia. The winner will move on to the NCAA title game Sunday at 3 p.m. They will face either Georgetown or Southern Cal. Tar Heel volleyball just got named the number 7 overall seed for the NCAA tournament. They'll begin their quest for a national championship on Friday with the first round match at home against High Point. 7 players named all ACC. That just came in, including redshirt sophomore Taylor Leaf, who took home the league's Player of the Year award. Obviously, not as good a weekend for Tar Heel football. They lost to NC State. They wrap up their regular season 8-4. Now we just await the bowl selection, but all ACC teams just came out. Congratulations to a bunch of Tar Heels named to all ACC teams, including Ryan Switzer, named all ACC first team. He was the only Tar Heel so recognized. Lucas Crowley and TJ Logan named all ACC second team. Mitch Trubisky, Elijah Hood, and Nazaire Jones named all ACC third team. And the UNC basketball team kept it rolling with that win in the Maui Invitational last week before Thanksgiving. That moves them up to number 3 in the nation in the national rankings that just got released in the AP Top 25. Kentucky number 1, Villanova, last year's national champs, number 2, but Carolina at number 3 and playing about as well as just about anyone in the country. Of course, it is still November and a long way to go before the end of the season. And with more on that, we're joined by Dr. Deb Stroman. She's a professor in the Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC, sports commentator, and a bit of a basketball expert herself. So, Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. There's so much to talk about. I don't know where to begin. Carolina sports are on fire.
A breath there. Yeah, there's a lot going on. So obviously really successful with Tar Heel soccer, but Tar Heel basketball, everyone's talking about them. You've got people saying, oh man, they're the number one team in the country right now. At least they're playing like it. Kentucky and Villanova obviously have some claim to that as well. But with Indiana coming up in a couple of days, UNC basketball is really rolling right now.
Well, it is so hard to get excited for Carolina basketball because every year they're exciting. But we always have to find some kind of way to acknowledge the greatness of what goes on in this program, built on an amazing tradition. But this year it is special again because there's unfinished business. And having these veterans who are back to lead the team, starting with the point guard, starting with Joel Berry. He is clearly leading this team. All the question marks as to whether or not we'd be able to move beyond Bryce Johnson and his rebounding and his scoring, and definitely Marcus Page for his leadership and his sharp shooting. The early season has proven that this team wants the ring. And I'm just so proud of how the entire staff, from Coach Robinson, Davis, C.B. McGrath, I've become very good friends with Brad Frederick, who's our director of basketball operations, bringing on Sean May. Strength and conditioning is critical. Some people would say that North Carolina is soft, but if you talk to anybody close to the program, that's the last thing that they believe or they know about their team. Jonas Saharitan, he's done an amazing job of developing the bodies of these young men. Looking at the transformation of Kennedy Meeks, how he is stronger, he's rebounding with passion, and of course Eric Hoots. These are the types of people behind the scenes that are making things work for the entire program, but Eric Hoots is critical to the student-athlete development and how they are operating outside of the basketball offices and basketball court, but community and also thinking about their careers. So I'm going on and on because I want to call out these guys because they've done an amazing job with this team.
And we're talking about Tar Heel basketball this early in the basketball season, which is rare. I mean, there's so few schools out there in the country that we're already talking about basketball and getting excited about it. And it's just a testament to what a great program UNC is, but also what a great team they've got this year. So let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of playing this well this early. Obviously, you want to win every game you go out there, but there are advantages to playing really well in November. There's also disadvantages. You want to have some adversity. You want to be tested early on. I know you, and we've talked about this before. I'm a big fan of Michigan State. Tom Izzo has outdone himself this year, and he always does this. He puts his team up against the hardest possible pre-conference season or non-conference slate. And this year, they've already got three losses, and none of those are shameful losses. They've lost to some amazing teams. They've beaten some really good teams, but they've already got three losses in the books, whereas a team like Carolina or Kentucky or Villanova, some of these other teams are still unbeaten. But what's the advantage and disadvantage to going either way with that?
Well, there's no doubt, and Michigan State has that reputation as being tough and being able to grind it out. And that comes with that early season decision-making in terms of who do you play. I think Carolina has a reputation of being there at the beginning, the middle, and the end. Mm-hmm. They're a team that does not quit. The other thing about North Carolina, they're known for developing post players. When you think of some of the greatest names in Carolina history, you have to pull up some of the post play. And what they've done with Tony Bradley, he was signed. It's wonderful to have a 6'11", 7-footer that is mobile, that is hungry, that's actually making Isaiah Hicks and Kennedy Meeks step up and play stronger. But Tony Bradley is an example of how UNC develops post players. And I'm very hopeful that he'll stay for at least 3 years because he is definitely going to be a beast by the time he becomes a senior. But is it better to lose early? I don't necessarily think so. With a program that is young and is trying to develop itself, you might want to consider an early loss or two would be great because you're making your team consider that this is not guaranteed. And so we lose early, we taste it, and we get very, very hungry for it never to happen again. But with North Carolina, they are used to winning. Every game, they've got the bullseye on. Every game is that NBA championship, so to speak, for these guys, and they want to beat North Carolina. So I don't think you get a big mental lift for a program like UNC for them to lose early. I say win every game, go and try and break the record of being undefeated in a schedule if possible. Now, we know the wars of the ACC, it's very unlikely that will happen, but there's no doubt that winning is helping this team, and especially these young guys like Tony Bradley.
And it is certainly the case. I mean, Tony Bradley being the exception and the other freshman, but UNC's got the hunger because they've tasted the defeat. They had that game against Villanova not that long ago that you know they're all still thinking about.
And you're exactly right. I think also it's very good they're using this time to find out about Justin Jackson and what role he will really play. UNC is built on team basketball. Everybody has their role. Certain players are looking for certain shots, and others know there are only certain spots on the court that you should be shooting, where you should be shooting. But Justin Jackson came in this year with everyone talking that he would be a 25-point scorer to a slasher, to someone who needs to hit the three and take the pressure off the post players. Everything has been thrown at Justin Jackson as to what role he will play on this team. And I think we're starting to see exactly what it is. He's not going to be that 25, 30-point scorer a game. He's going to do whatever it takes, especially during these critical minutes, critical time periods where he's going to make the right pass, or he will take the right shot. He will drive to the basket and look for a three-point play. But to try and pinhole him into a particular role, I don't think that's what Justin's going to be. And I don't think that is what this team needs.
You've got, we're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, UNC Kenan-Flagler Business School professor, sports commentator. You've got the Indiana game coming up on Wednesday, not too far off. What do you expect to see from the Tar Heels against Indiana? This is going to be one of the, this is probably going to be the toughest team they'll have faced to date. Obviously, Wisconsin is has got a claim to that as well. But what do you want to see from the Tar Heels on Wednesday night, and what do you expect to see from them?
Well, early on in the season, you want consistency. And so the seniors, the players who've played for a while, they'll be fine. It's when those other guys get their opportunity. So, for example, like a Tony Bradley, Brandon Robinson, Seventh Woods, Kenny Williams, when they get into the game, how are they going to perform? Mentally, you've got Joel Berry, so they're going to be very confident. They're going to go out there and say that we are representing the ACC. And what I found with this ACC Big Ten Challenge, as much as you do wear your university on your the front of your jersey, it really is a time where the ACC teams come together and say, we have to come together and show that we're the better conference. And oftentimes, Duke and Carolina are asked to get the W. Now, the way this tournament is set up, the way this competition is set up, is they do look at the previous schedule and try and put the best teams in the previous year. They try to match them up. So even though Carolina might have a tougher opponent, there is this expectation that we need for Carolina to get their W. But I'm looking for a very, very good mental game in the sense that they will keep their composure. They will start strong. I don't think there is a front court that's playing as well as North Carolina is. And so on an away court, you want to make sure that you get to the free throw line a lot and that you're challenging down low. So I look for North Carolina to really, really have a strong start.
You think the ACC wins this year?
I always do. I'm so confident in this conference, especially the way the other teams are developing. You've got your Blue Bloods, of course, that compete well, and generally it's an automatic that they're going to be in the National Championship March Madness. But I just like how the other programs are developing. Syracuse, of course, I can never rule them out. Love the way Virginia is now back in play. Feel confident that Larry Naga down at Miami, he always comes up with a strategy to be competitive. I could go on and on. I'm very confident with ACCW.
Dr. Deb Stroman, Kenan-Flagler Business School. We got to let you go, but thank you so much.
Thank you.